listening to the greatest.
And those flappy things on the side of your head, they're tuned into the Nardcast, baby.
Yo, you're listening to the Nardcast.
You are listening to the Nardcast.
What's up, everyone? This is Leighton from the Curtis Sphere. You're listening to the freshest podcast on the planet, the Nardcast.
Word.
Yeah, that's right. You listen to the freshest podcast on the planet. That's right, the Nardcast, and we're doing it to it right here on a lovely Wednesday, episode 114. That's right, finally done with the 30 episodes in 30 days. Finally able to do a regular Nardcast. Finally got done with that 30-day project on Sunday. That's right, and I hope everybody enjoyed the 30 episodes in 30 days. And now that I'm over with that, now I'm just hanging out. These days, taking a couple, actually, I took a 3-day break so far. So I hope you guys missed me. And hit me up on the Nardcast.podomatic.com, as well as Twitter at the Nardcast. And I'm also on Stitcher Radio and iTunes. Just search the Nardcast. That's right. And I have my buddy Tristan Nichols on. He's a singer-songwriter from England.
Hey,
doing this thing right out here at UT TV as a host. Been doing that since April. Repping
hey,
the 114, man. That is what's up. So, Tristan, what's going on with you these days, man?
Hey, man. Well, thanks for having me on first.
Absolutely, man. I'm glad to have you on. I just found out you were an artist, like, last week, I think. You sent me over 2 songs via email, and I was like, whoa, that's super cool, man.
I'm like a secret artist.
Yeah, man. Look at you, man. You got a story to tell, don't you?
I think, yeah, I mean, everyone's got a story to tell, right? I mean, my musical side is, you know, it sounds a bit funny, but it's almost like a release.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just, I'm a newspaper journalist by trade. I spent 13 years as a defense correspondent on a newspaper in England, and that was all crazy, you know, like, what, 3 stints in Afghanistan and 5 months
That's
over
crazy.
There and all that sort of stuff. And doing all that, you know, in day-to-day life, I think everyone needs a release. Everyone needs a release from something. So the songwriting, it just kind of acted as, you know, it was, you know, while my mind was set in the kind of news, telling a news story angle, you know, it was nice to just go home when you're feeling tired, pick up a guitar and just record something, just play something, just something completely off the top of your head. And you know, I'm from the old, kind of old school way of doing things where, you know, on a Friday night, you go out for a couple of drinks and with friends, and you kind of end up, end of the night, I say the end of the night, but later on in the night, you know, around a kitchen table, and, you know, there's you know, you're having a smoke and having a drink, and someone picks up an instrument and they're playing 3 chords over and over and over, and then someone else joins in with, a mandolin or a fiddle or, well, you know, whatever, a pair of spoons another guitar.
Jamming out all together.
And
you
everyone
know,
jams, and like, you know, like I said, it's just a form of release, and you kind of take something from that, and you kind of think, you know, with that jam the other night, we kind of had something there, and just development. So yeah, am I a singer-songwriter? I don't know. I write songs, I sing songs, I play songs, I record songs.
Yeah.
But
and the songs that you that we're going to hear today on the show, you actually produced all the elements to the song. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Not just, you're not, so that to me, that's a singer song. That's what a singer songwriter.
Yeah, I brought in guests.
Yeah.
You know, because I can't play piano. I can play the guitar. I can sing a little bit. I can compose, you know, because I'm creating this thing out of thin air. But yeah, I invited friends. I mean, friends that are signed, you know, and we had to, you know, kind of, it was like, you know, if you're planning to put this out into the public domain, just be careful about mentioning my name.
Right,
so, you know,
just,
you know, this is my friend who's recorded saying, you know, just call me something different.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
So no one will ever know.
That's pretty big then. That's
a
big deal.
So, you know, I've got friends kind of performing on these tracks, and they're so much better than me. Do you know what I mean? It's like anyone listening who is into the acoustic kind of folk scene will be like, oh my God, that doesn't half sound like, oh, it is.
Right.
But he's called Jack Black or, you know, something completely fictitious, you know. So yeah, I mean, you know, the music thing, it's always been a release. I enjoy doing it. I'm not the most confident person in the world when it comes to kind of performing.
But again, like you said, I feel like music is a release, and you don't have to be the greatest person to be able to enjoy something that you enjoy doing when it's not related to work, you know? Like, for example, I love music, but that's not my profession, but, you know, and I also like, you know, doing podcasts. I'm not the greatest, you know, broadcaster ever, but it's just something that I like to do for fun because my passion is music, and my passion is also, you know, introducing the world, especially the Nardicans, to good underground music.
Yeah.
So, it's just like a release, you know?
I completely, fully appreciate kind of what you do, especially, because, you know, the underground music scene, there is so much music. You know, I really hate, you know, personally, today's society where, you know, in personal opinion, you know, unless it's, if it's on X Factor, then everyone's talking about it, you know? And like, you know, the Simon Cowell's of this world, it's created this completely fabric, fictitious, you know, I mean, I think Dave Grohl said recently, you know, he remarked on the whole X Factor phenomenon saying, you know, a girl with an awesome voice who can play a guitar with her left foot or, you know, an extreme talent, you know, she gets to like the finals of this competition. She doesn't make it through because somebody who's never had a career in anything, who's famous for being famous, just turns around and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, you're not making it through because I didn't like the way you sang that one line.
And exactly. It's like, she made it that far, or he made it that far, you know?
You know, and bless him, Dave Grohl was saying, you know, look, this girl's got a voice. Just let her sing, man. Right. I mean, if she doesn't win this contest, who cares? She's probably better off not winning because at least she's still got her integrity and, you know, hopefully we'll see people like that emerging from this kind of underground scene, you know.
And exactly.
Hopefully they won't be labeling themselves as X Factor loser. I think I'll actually buy their stuff if they did say that. You know, it's a great marketing tool.
Yeah.
I didn't make it on X Factor. Great. I'll have 5 copies of your latest EP.
Nice. That's what's up. So, yeah, so when you're not doing your release in music, let the Nardicans know exactly what you do over at UTTV and how that all came about. Because I know you've been out here since April, but you've actually had a little bit of history prior to moving out here in the States.
Yeah, it's... Blimey, where to start?
I know, right? How about we start about... So what made you move from England to...
I fell in love, man.
Uh-oh.
I fell in love. You know, I swear there's going to be a movie about this one day. And, you know, maybe I can write the script. I don't know. We're still making up. We're still living the script, if you like. I was chatting to the most beautiful Mexican girl in the world on MySpace. Remember that?
Yeah, it was a long time ago when Friendster was around as
That's right. So I was chatting via email with a girl called Jackie in Mexico for 7 years. It's a crazy amount of time. And we chatted for 7 years about family, about friends, about business, you know, relationships, work, just everything. And, you know, 7 years, I mean, obviously we were looking at pictures of each other and going, you know, she's hot, Steve, what do you think of her?
So otherwise you wouldn't have added her, right? So I'm just joking.
I mean, yeah, you know, she instigated it. She sent me the first message because she thought I was hot.
Okay.
So I was just replying to that, you know, obviously. Anyway, so we chatted all this time, 7 years, and basically we got to the stage where we were both having a hard time with our kind of partners or ex-partners. And certainly for me and talking to her, it was the same in that, you know, it felt like the walls were closing in. And you know, we both come from kind of small kind of towns, and I needed a break, and I suggested that maybe we should meet up for the first time.
And where she's from?
She's from from Tijuana, which has not got the best reputation in the whole world.
So not only did you added somebody on MySpace because she thought you were hot, but you also added someone on MySpace that didn't even live in England at the time. So,
Wow. 8,000 miles away. Yeah, but you know, it was just, we were chatting. There was, at that point, 7 years ago, we weren't planning to meet up. We weren't out. You know, it was just a cyber pen pal.
Right.
If you like. You know, I was improving my Spanish. She was improving her English, and we were just chatting. So we got to the stage, 18 months ago, where we were both split up with partners, and I was like, I need to get away. So I suggested that we meet up on holiday.
Yeah.
It's a pretty bold move, really. But I was like, well, you've
already known her for almost 6 years by then. So
it's
5 and a half. So
yeah.
You know, it felt like you knew her.
Yeah, well, it was actually 7 years. It was 7 years.
Okay.
So we've known each other now for 8 and a half.
Okay.
So, but we met up after 7 years on holiday, and we got on like house on fire. Like, completely like, wow, where have you been? You know, I remember saying, where have you been? I asked her, and she said, waiting for you.
Wow. You know? That's totally some movie lines right there.
Yeah, and, you know, we hooked up, you know, in quite a crazy kind of magical way. And I, at the end of this trip, so we met in Playa del Carmen, which is just south of Cancun in Mexico. And I flew back and I was all tearful on the plane and I felt like I'd left my left arm behind. And I phoned my mum and I was like, "Mum, you know, someone's going to give when I get home.
Yeah.
This is, you know, I've just met this girl." And she was like, "Oh my God, here you go again, holiday romance."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Mum, I'm 34 years old, you know, I'm not kind of 13. And so I flew back to England and basically I met with my boss and I was like, "Look, to be quite honest, I met someone." And he's like, "Oh, good lad, where's she live?" And I was like, "Tijuana." He was like, "Right, not in the southwest of England then, not even in your home city. She lives on another continent, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." So I used up all my holiday time. So I flew back to TJ to meet her mum and dad. And I was like,
"Whoa, that's big."
Yeah,
that's
huge. And I met her Spanish parents and I was like, you know, Mexican parents. And I said, "You know, I'm in love with your daughter and I want to be with her and nothing else seems to matter." And, you know, and they were like, "You know, Tristan, you're..." It's funny because her dad speaks a little bit of English, but really broken. And we were sat around the dinner table and I was like, "You know, Pedro, you know, I love su hija, your daughter." And he was like, "Ah, sí. And he said, he leaned back in his chair and went, "Tristan, you are, how do you say, an honest gay..." And I went, "Guy, you mean guy?" I was like, "Let's not get these wires crossed."
Yeah.
"An honest gay? No, don't let that get around." "No, an honest guy." And then they were like, they were lovely. And they were like, "We completely understand. We've never seen our daughter this way."
Wow.
So basically I went back home and I quit my job, sold my car and rented out my home. And I moved to TJ and spent 9 months in TJ doing relatively little, which was lovely because...
Nice sort of break from after
the Afghanistan stuff and all that. It was lovely, you know, being shot at in a whole new environment.
Right, yeah.
No, it was none of that. You know, I got to TJ and had the most probably peaceful time I've had all my life. Just really, you know, I heard bad things about TJ, but certainly while I was there, I didn't see any of it. And we just had a really peaceful time. I had no money and I didn't even have a phone. And it was lovely just to kind of leave everything and just completely start again. But near it, you know, 8 weeks after I was kind of in the house doing nothing, I got really bored quite quickly, as you can imagine. And I dropped an email to the UT and I was like, "Hey, you guys have got set up similar to the newspaper that I worked for, but you've gone a step further and you're doing stuff for TV. Can I come in and have a look around?" And they were like, yeah, sure, come in." And I went in and they were like, "My God, what are you doing here?" Told them half the story and they were like, "Well, what do you want, a job?"
Sounds like JR.
yeah. And then I had a screen test and then literally 10 minutes after that I was offered a job. And then we spent 7 whole months getting a visa to allow me to accept the job.
Yeah.
So now I'm a TV show host thing in San Diego.
/ reporter, because you report in the mornings too.
Yeah, and all my friends are just like...
And your friends from New England, not New England, but England can actually watch via online too.
Yeah, that's kind of
awesome.
Crazy. And they're like, you know, all my friends are like, "Hang on a minute, wait a minute. So you're now living in San Diego as an anchorman. Hang on, but we've all seen this film. You are Ron Burgundy." You know? And I'm like, oh my God, yeah, it's weird.
That's funny. I never thought of that.
Anchorman in San Diego. But it's been a crazy time. It's been a crazy time. Like I was telling you earlier on, I just had this... You know, I had a great life in the UK. Yeah. I was an award-winning journalist.
Because you were telling me in the car when we were riding up here that you actually had... Did you say Prince Charles or
Harry?
Oh, Prince Harry. Yeah. Prince Harry actually gave you an honor, right?
Gave me a medal for my time spent in Africa.
Wow, that is super cool, man.
On behalf of Her Majesty the Queen.
Yeah, wow, that's super cool, man.
So
how is it moving from print to TV though? Like, is it,
you know,
is it a huge, like,
it's
is
a
it
huge
overwhelming
difference.
Or?
It's a huge difference. When I was in Africa the last time, I was working as a journalist, a written journalist. I was blogging as well. I was also acting as a photographer. Mm-hmm. And I was there for 3 months working as a broadcaster for the British Forces Broadcasting Service. So I was doing your job. I was doing everybody's job in the office, but just me doing it. You know, I was producing, editing, filming, presenting, you know, for TV and radio, we were doing packages for both and live hits and everything. I mean, it was full on. It was a crazy time, and I kind of got back and I went back to the newspaper job, and I was like, my God, this is so much different to TV. And now that I'm here doing the TV thing, it's really, you know, it's so strange again, because all of a sudden I'm used to writing 700 words to tell a story, and now I've got to tell it in like 30.
Yeah.
You know, because that's like part of a script. Yeah. You know, you let other people tell the story.
Yeah.
And it's been really difficult trying to get my head around it. And it's, you know, it's also culturally, I mean, you know, we're best buddies, you know, America and England, you know, we get on like a house on fire, we love each other and mutual respect and all that. But it's very different, you know, culturally it's very different. And, you know, there are a lot of things that I say in the office that I just get kind of glazed looks. You know, people.
And I remember at one point you were giving me and Claudette like the word of the day. I remember those moments too.
Yeah.
That was good stuff. But go ahead, sorry, continue.
The British Dictionary. I mean, there's been a number of times where I've just been talking to people and I'm like, right, you know, I'm going to nip down to the cash point down at the petrol station. You know, and by the way, your fringe is looking awesome today.
Whoa.
You know, and like, and everyone's going, yeah. And I'm going, you didn't understand what I said.
You didn't
get it.
Let me get it. So the only thing that I think I got out of that is you're going to go somewhere, set shop, meaning like you're going to, that's where your checkpoint is going to be, right? Am I right?
No.
See, I'm totally off. See, I'm thinking, oh, he's about to go on a live shot and he's going to go ahead and set. Oh, see,
no.
I'm totally off too.
What did I say? I'm going down to the cash point. So I'm going down to the ATM.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
At the petrol station, which is just the petrol. What's your call?
Bistro? Is it the bistro?
No, the petrol station. The filling up station.
Gas station.
The gas station.
Okay.
And telling someone that their fringe looks awesome, as in their hair. But you call them bangs, right? Bangs?
Yeah, bangs. Yeah, the bangs. Yeah.
I don't get that one.
Wow.
But yeah, so it's, you know, I'm a bit lost in translation, but it's part of the
culture thing.
It's part of the culture thing. It's part of the enjoyment of really embracing a new way of life.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm completely living the dream. I'm honestly living the dream and just
really
thoroughly
awesome.
Enjoying everything. And it's just crazy times, you know, crazy times.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about it, like, you are living the dream. I mean, you're a UTTV host. You're in love. You're with the woman of your dreams.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that I proposed to her. She came home in December. I say home. She came back to England with me in December to meet my mum and dad.
Mm-hmm. This is the first time meeting them, right?
Yeah. Okay. And the first time to England.
Wow.
She calls fairy tale land.
Oh,
she calls
wow.
It. But I proposed to her on top of the London Eye, overlooking my nation's capital.
Oh.
And she said yes, not once, but six times in two different languages.
Nice. That's what's up, man. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you.
So that's cool, man. So when you were in Tijuana, or actually now that you're in the States, like, how often do you find yourself playing music at least? You know, do you have the time to rock out on guitar? Or?
A little bit. I mentioned earlier on that, you know, we're boys, you know, you and I, we're guys, and you know, guys, when they move into a new city, country, apartment, whatever, you know, they don't buy utensils, they don't buy plates or cleaning products, you know. I went and bought the biggest TV I could find, so that was the first thing. Second thing was a Sony PlayStation, PS3.
Nice. PS3.
The third thing was a Fender Jaguar guitar. While looking up surfboards.
Oh, nice.
You know, so I've still yet to get those two. And like, Jackie walked into the apartment and she's like, okay, so how long have you been out? I was like, a couple of weeks. She's like, are you going to get bed? Yeah, at some point.
At some point.
So what about a sofa? I was like, well, yeah, you know, the TV is sat on the PS3 box.
Yeah.
You know, that's the stand. And, you know, I'm still getting set up.
Yeah, I mean, hey, what's the rush, right?
Exactly. So. What did you ask me again? I'm completely lost now.
Oh, you're lost. Well, it was a transition from like the music to like you're living in the States now.
I play much. I'm not really playing much because I've just had so much going on with, you know, moving like I said, moving to a different country, you know, moving from the UK to TJ and rocking up there with a bag and a guitar, and that was it, some clothes and a guitar, and then literally taking that bag and the guitar over the border to the States and moving into an apartment and trying desperately to fill, what, 1,000 square feet? I don't know, like 800 square feet with nothing, you know, just kind of, oh, the T-shirts can live there.
Yeah.
You know, and then the socks can live there, and yeah, that's fine. Doesn't really look too homely, does it? but you know, so everything is the music side really is taking a bit of a back seat for the minute. I actually restrung the guitar the night before last.
Oh yeah, and for the podcast, make sure it sounds good, you know.
And I was playing a little bit, and I was like, wow, you know, I miss this. I miss finding the time is what I miss. Finding the time to actually sit down and play. Because, I mean, going back to the musical side of things, it's really weird that, you know, I've got a lot of favourite artists and I listen to them a lot, and I wish that I could write like them. I think that most people kind of listen to whatever they like, and they go, I wish that I could do that.
Absolutely.
And I wish that I could... You know, I'm a storyteller by trade. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. I write stories. I speak stories. You know? And I really wish that I could be a kind of a Lennon and McCartney in one. A Neil Finn from Crowded House. A Paul Dempsey. I really wish that I could tell a story with my songs. But I find myself almost going into some kind of weird trance when you get really immersed in the music and you're playing these chords over and over. You know, I kind of hum. I hum it first, and then some words come along, and then, you know, you always get the question from friends, what the hell is this about? What's this about? Where was your head when you were writing this? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, I was in some weird place. And it's only really when I sit down, maybe like a couple of months later, that I listen to a song that I've recorded. I hate listening back to myself, but it's only when I sit down and I read the words or listen to the words, and I just think, wow, you know, that moment that I recorded that was taking something from a long time ago and just remembering back to that heartache, that happiness, that, you
know, whatever the moment was during the time of songwriting. That's how I am too.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't played or wrote a song in probably years now that, you know, UTTV's taken about a year of my life away from the creativity
outside of work.
But, you know, I'm busy, but, you know, but it is, like I said, it's a release, and it's really nice to be able to like relive that moment when you do write a song. There's times where I'll write a song, especially back in my college days, where I'm like, man, I must have been feeling really horrible, or man, I was wasted when I wrote that song, or wow, I remember when I was sitting at home thinking of a girl when I wrote that riff, you know, or man, that was written for my ex-girlfriend that I no longer talk to, or something crazy like that. So yeah, it's really nice to like relive those moments when you're like listening to it back, you know, when you're listening to it again and stuff like that.
So can I introduce one of my songs?
Absolutely, yeah. So I know we got two songs.
Yeah.
And then you're going to play a song for us live.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what we can do is we can talk about the first song, and then we'll come back. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about the songwriting process for that song.
Perfect, sounds good.
And then
good.
We'll toss to the other one.
Let's give the Nodcast followers a listen, eh?
Yeah, yeah. So what song are we going to hear first?
I think we... Let's play Say Goodbye. Okay. Let's play Say Goodbye. A song that I recorded probably about two years ago now.
Okay.
And it's got my friend who's one of the people that I said that was signed. He's performing on it. And yeah, I'm not sure where... it was Say Goodbye. It was about saying goodbye to an ex-girlfriend, I think. But I'm not quite sure now. Memories have all melded into one.
Yeah.
But say goodbye anyway.
All right, cool. So let's hear it right here on episode 114. And we're doing it to it right here with Tristan Nichols. Appreciate you being on the show. And also, you can follow him on Twitter. It's at Tristan_Nichols. That's NICHOLS. And also, he has a blog. It's TristanNichols.co.uk.
Yeah.
And all this information will also be up on the on my website.
Yeah.
Just so that you guys can just click the link, and it'll take you to it. And you also have a SoundCloud, right? Or
yeah, I can't remember the name of that, but if you search for my name, Tristan, TRISTAN, Nichols, NICHOLS.
Okay.
Yeah, the website, TristanNichols.co.uk. And I've also got the blog, which is Crazy Beautiful Madness in Mexico, which basically details all the crazy love story.
That's what's up. All right, so let's hear it right here. Say Goodbye by Tristan Nichols right here on episode 114.
But we're not saying goodbye.
But we're not saying goodbye.
No. So right. Say goodbye, but we're not saying goodbye.
We're going to say goodbye for the song, but we're going to come right back after that.
Yeah,
how
baby.
About that? Yeah, buddy.
Why not want to hesitate? Give me a reason, show me space. Ooh, I'm feeling lost inside. Tell you what's at stake.
Episode 114, that was a song called Say Goodbye right here by Tristan Nichols. Awesome song, dude. Now, my question to you is, because I know the Narticans are probably asking the same thing, probably trying to put this song into like a specific genre.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So what genre would you put it in? Because I don't want to put it in country, but I also don't want to go all the way by saying I would put it in the Western feel.
Yeah,
and I think I was telling you a couple weeks ago that, yeah, I don't know if you've seen, what's the name of that movie? What is it called? It's the one with, I don't know, if A Man of Constant Sorrow. Have you heard that song before by Soggy Bottom Boys? What's that movie?
Come on, followers. Help
it's
us
with,
out.
Billy Bob Thornton, ain't it? No, it's not.
No,
him.
George Clooney.
George Clooney, yeah. Oh, Brother Wild Thigh.
Yeah.
So
exactly that.
I can see that being on that soundtrack. But it's not that Western, but it's not the country. Maybe in between. Like, what do you think?
My dad is a huge blues man.
Yeah.
You know, he's a white guy. He shouldn't really like blues, you know, not to the extreme that he does.
Yeah.
And when I'm talking blues, I'm not talking about, you know, the latter day blues men like
B.B. King.
I'm talking about 1920s, you know, these guys on their porch.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like that rag blues where it's like they're singing about, what is it called?
Howling.
Kind of like a folk blues. With the acoustic guitar and it's all out of tune.
Howling Wolf.
Yeah.
Lead Belly.
Yeah.
You know, it's some real kind of primitives. Like, even like the Carter Family, which is like a crossover into the kind of bluegrass folk. Mm-hmm.
Like Sun House. I don't know if you heard of Sun House. That's kind of that genre that I'm thinking of. Yeah, I get what you're saying now.
So the area that I come from in England is in the very kind of southwest tip. Mm. Now, what are we renowned for? We're renowned for mining. You know, people work, it's been underground. We're known for pirates. You know, as Sir Francis Drake,
I was just about to say that.
I'm a descendant.
Are you serious? Whoa, get out of here, dude.
So we're known for the pirates. We're known for that. We're known for some food. But one of the other things we're known for is
our Newcastle. Right? No, that's... I'm sorry, that's not...
That's the other end of the country.
Yeah, I'm sorry, my bad.
Come on, man.
Well, you should... Nah, that's right. Yeah, that's not an England dude. My bad.
It's, we're known for our kind of rootsy music, our folk tales. Mm. If ever there is a ghost story in the UK, it's always based on the area where I'm kind of from, the southwest of England.
Yeah.
So with the ghost things, the folklore, the tales, comes songwriting. And songwriting, tales told in songs. So a lot of my friends are musicians. And whereas if you go around to other areas of the UK, you will find someone that sounds like Liam Gallagher from Oasis. You'll hear grungy sort of music acts. Mm. In the Southwest, it's much more primitive. It's much more acoustic. It's stripped back. There's no production. It literally goes back to the whole ethos of, I have a guitar, I've got something that I want to sing about.
Yeah.
So the process of recording that song, Say Goodbye, you know, I had an idea for this song. I actually didn't go into the studio to record that song. I went in to record something else that I was working on. And I was using these three chords. Again, you know, going back to the whole kind of sat around the kitchen table at 3 o'clock in the morning. I went into the studio to record the song. I was warming up by playing these three chords, which became the structure for the verse. And my friend, who I asked to come in and play some viola, he was jamming along. And the producer was like, whoa, right, we'll get you, you know, mic'd up for that. And I said, no, we're not doing that, you know. No, we've got to record this.
Yeah.
You guys are on a roll, you know, let's do that. So we recorded that, and it, you know, true to the ethos of the whole kind of folk, acoustic, stripped down roots, basic stuff, it was like, well, I was, you know, we were kind of talking, what can we do for percussion? Oh, I don't want drums, it's too loud. I don't want bongos because that's too hippie.
Right.
And I was literally walking down the stairs to get a coffee in this old studio, and you know, it's an old wooden staircase. And I was walking down the steps and I just thudded, you know, just kind of, you know, I was like, whoa, you know, walking up and down a couple of steps.
That wood sound, right? Yeah, from the
that
stairs.
That wooden sound.
Yeah.
So we mic'd up, we put three mics on one of the steps and I foot stomped through the entire song. And that's the percussion you can hear.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, different, eh?
Yeah.
And we had a viola, which is like a fatter violin with a kind of a deep sound.
Yeah.
And we actually fingerpicked the viola as well. And we added some bass later on, just a normal kind of bass setup and the vocals and stuff. But that whole creative process where you have an idea, a 3 o'clock in the morning idea, and then, you know, like a couple of months later, you've got something that you can hold in your hand. You've got, wow, I've just created that out of completely thin air. And now you're listening to it.
Yeah,
and now you're all listening
to
it.
Yeah,
you know?
See how that works? See the beauty of that?
But it's a magical process, the whole, you know, music, creating music. And really, like I said, I'm not the most confident when it comes to playing in front of people or to announcing this music. You know, I let you hear it because I knew that you were interested in music.
Right.
I thought we might want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you'll...
And then before you know it, it's like, hey, let's do it. Let's let the world listen to it, you know?
One of the nicest things that I can take from the songwriting process is being in a bar or being in someone's, you know, front room or something, or being in the street anywhere, and someone's just singing your song. Someone's just singing the words to the chorus of one of your songs. And I'm like, where did you hear that? Oh, some guy was playing it the other day.
Yeah, that's an awesome feeling.
And I'm like, you remember that? You remember the words? Yeah, and they're like, I don't know who was singing it, but... No, I don't know, they might say that.
Yeah, but still, that's just an amazing feeling, though, at the same time.
That someone's remembering it, you know? And it's obviously... Jackie actually, you know, the chorus to that, if I can remember, I'm not afraid to say goodbye. Jackie, that hit a chord with Jackie. So that song is part of our story because we didn't speak maybe for like a month or 5 weeks within that 7 years. And It was because we had stuff going on. I think we were breaking up with our partners. Right. And I think that what made me go into the studio was probably what made Jackie listen to that song once it had been done. We were both in that same zone. We were both going through difficult things. And she sent me an email saying, you know, exactly that. She said, what you sang in your song in the chorus summed up exactly how I was feeling. And that made my spine tinge. You know, I was like, wow. I touched someone 8,000 or 9,000 miles away on a different continent.
Yeah.
And now she's my fiance.
Yeah. 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 Just not even just her being your fiance, just the fact that something lyrically influenced someone else, whether it is a significant other or anybody. That's the beauty of music and songwriting.
It's a lovely feeling, and you can't take anything away from that. Personally, when you create something and someone, you know, it reminds you of something. And you know, people always ask me, you know, what are your influences? I don't know.
As far as music or just in general?
Yeah, okay. Music. I mean, I can tell you what I listen to, but it's diverse, you know. Nick Drake, he's an old English singer-songwriter. Nick Drake, Jeff Buckley, Fleetwood Mac, Nirvana, I love. Any kind of rock music, Nirvana, you know, Soundgarden, the whole grunge thing. I'm really into that, but I enjoy a bit of hip-hop. I enjoy some pop.
Yeah, you said some pop.
Some pop.
That face is priceless. I love it.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I listen to so many different varieties of music. And
do you like The Streets? That's a English.
No.
Oh, you don't
really
like The Streets?
Isn't he Mike Skinner? No, I never liked him.
Yeah, you don't like Skinner?
But I like Lily Allen.
Oh, okay. So I never got into that, though. See, I like The Streets, though.
Yeah, I never
really.
That's
where I learned all my English from, actually. Really? My slang. Yeah. So you guys say, I know I'm going way off topic, but there's a song by The Streets. It's called You're Fit and You Know It.
Yeah,
so
no, that was quite fun.
So I'm assuming that you guys will, if you guys are making a comment on a woman, it's more like you might say she's fit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah. Did you see Andy's mum the other night? Oh, yeah, she's fit.
Yeah.
she's a fit bird.
Yeah, I like that. See, that's cool. See, I think that's probably one of my when it comes to English, especially when it comes to hip hop, I would definitely say The Streets, probably one of my favorites.
They were really different.
Yeah,
they were really different, and they kind of came from nowhere, a bit like the kind of Arctic Monkeys as well.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of had a lot to say.
Yeah,
at a time when no one else was saying anything.
Right.
You know.
And then here's another example: The Damned. They're a very influential punk band.
Yeah.
From those times, Radiohead. Right.
Brilliant.
Tom
York. I mean, each one of them is just an absolute genius
in their own genre, you know, and it's just amazing.
I don't know. I mean, how would you? People just put Radiohead into the kind of rock band genre, but I wouldn't call them rock. I mean, it's like art.
It's art.
Alternative.
That's the thing about Radiohead, and that's why. And that's another beauty of that band in general, is not being able to throw them in a specific genre.
No.
Alternative, yes. You can even say indie. You can even throw them in like that abstract music, whatever that genre may be.
Because the whole, in England, the indie thing was really weird, because indie was the tagline for us, for the British, for the Britpop invasion. When Britpop came out, you had Oasis, Blur, Pulp,
all these guys, great bands.
And, you know, they turned it Britpop and they said, they're indie bands.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, they're not. No. And the media kept using this term indie, and we were, you know, the people that kind of knew a little bit about music were saying, it's not indie. Indie is independent. Indie is completely independent of everything else. It's not popular culture. It's not commercial. Yeah. It's not really successful.
Mm-hmm.
But saying that, you could very well class Radiohead, even today, with all the success they've had, all the sold-out shows, the huge headline festival appearances, you could still class them as an indie group.
Yeah.
Because, you know, example, any band that writes an album in rainbows, they released in rainbows, before they put it in the shops, they put it on their website and said, well, there you go, it's on our website, you decide what you want to pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and like, people were paying 12p, people were paying, you know, a couple of pounds, whatever. And Radiohead were like, well, we've made enough money, so it doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah.
You know, if you want it, you can have it. If you don't, then, you know, you don't have to have
awesome.
It.
That's awesome.
And that is
that's purely
independent. Yeah. Love them. Love Radiohead.
Yeah, Radiohead is awesome. Tom York's the man. He's doing his thing with Adams for Peace now. Yes. I don't know if he's still doing his solo stuff though.
That's been shelved. Adams for Peace are just about to get going again with Flea. I know that Flea had commitments with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Over the spring, but now they're ramping up the Adams for Peace again.
Yeah, so. That's super awesome. Cool. So all right, so we just heard Say Goodbye.
Yeah.
And do you want to transition to the next song?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. When I went back in December to England, I took the opportunity to take a song that I've been working on in Mexico. And I just took it home and bounced a couple of ideas off of my producer friend, Joe Biddle. And basically, I just said, you know, I really like playing this song. I think it's one of the more catchier things that I've done, and it's quite fast-paced and probably a bit less folky. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you guys decide. You know, have a listen and see what you think.
Now, when you were writing this song, you just mentioned that you were in Mexico. Now, was this when you first came down to Mexico to meet up? Okay.
Oh, no, this was during the 9 months that I spent in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
When basically I bugger all to do apart from play guitar. So okay. I just wrote a song called Happiness Inside. And nice. It kind of, you know, it was about the feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
The feeling of being kind of free and, you know, just, yeah, being liberated. I wasn't going to go that far. We don't want to make anyone sick.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So let's hear it right here. Right here on episode 114. We're doing it right here with Tristan Nichols. Hit me up, thenarcast.podomatic.com. I need likes. I'm at 314 on Facebook. Been around for 4 years. I need more than that, right? So facebook.com/thenarcast. And again, you're listening to episode 114 with my buddy Tristan Nichols, who's doing his thing over there at UTTV, repping 114. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about his blog, and he's going to perform a song. Do you know what song you're going to play
yet? I might do a cover, or I might do another one of my own.
All right.
I don't know.
We'll think about that while I pour us another cup of coffee during this song. He might play some word on the street. He might play some Radiohead. We'll see. Creep. I'm thinking Creep.
I'd love to play that.
All right. Check this out. What song are we playing again? Sorry.
We are playing Happiness Inside.
Happiness Inside by Tristan Nichols right here on the Narcast.
Yep.
What's the point in discussing? I've got nothing to say. These are words I've used before. You don't listen to me, but I tried at least to nothing, and I say
happiness inside right here on episode 114. I got my buddy from UTTV repping 114, Tristan Nichols. Not only is he a TV host, but he's also a singer-songwriter. And again, we just heard Happiness Inside, which was written in Mexico, but then you eventually went back to England to record this, right?
Yeah.
So how was that, man? So how was the recording process on this one?
It was good. A lot more kind of relaxed than the other one, really. The other one I had kind of multi... You know, I had lots of people involved, you know, my friend.
Yeah, it was
Seth
a little bit, yeah, because this one seems like it was like basically acoustic and it had a more, I don't want to throw it in that like straight 100% folk, but it had like that acoustic vibe.
Yeah, but yeah. I hear what you're saying. One thing I absolutely loved, and it still puts a smile on my face even now when I listen to it. If you notice after the little kind of solo bit, just working on the scales there, if you listen in the background, there's some like really, really distorted guitars. And I said to the producer that I listened to it and I was like, you know, I really like the way this sounds, but I don't want to be falling into the whole acoustic folk thing forever.
Yeah.
So he said, all right, well, what do you want? And I said, well, I said, you know, have you heard, the Pixies album? Was it Come On Pilgrim?
And the album.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah. And I said, right, I want that sort of heavy, distorted, crazy-ass sound in there.
Yeah.
So we literally turned the fucking distortion up, up to 11, and literally just trashed it. I just grabbed this guitar and was like making all sorts of noises. And even to this day, you know, what, 6-7 months on, every time I listen to it, when it gets to that bit, I just smile because I just think that's the kind of punk element of my persona coming out. You know,
yeah.
Take something beautiful and then just kind of put something just.
I noticed it a little bit. Yeah, that's pretty. I like that. I like that element that you added in there. You know,
it's just
like,
different. It's just different.
Yeah, it's different, but it's a good element though.
Yeah.
You know? So three things. You don't have to apologize for cussing because this is an uncensored, uncut podcast. Two, we can definitely go off and talk a whole hour about Pixies and how amazing they are.
Yeah.
And then three, I want to apologize for saying Newcastle, which is one of my favorite beers, is from England. What the hell am I thinking?
Newcastle Brown Ale. It is from it is from England. It's not
southwestern.
No, Newcastle is the other end of the country.
Yeah,
it's like
okay.
It's nearly Scotland.
Okay, so I was slightly right, but not really.
Yeah, we're the cider country.
Yeah.
If you drink cider here, cider's from the southwest of England.
Yeah. Okay. Like a apple cider kind of thing.
Apple cider, exactly. Scrumpy cider.
It's okay.
Yeah. You either love it or hate it.
Yeah.
It gives you really, really mega bad hangovers.
Yeah.
But.
Woof.
You know, it's good stuff.
Yeah, that's what's up. Cool. All right. So now we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to go ahead and, actually, you're going to perform for us pretty soon here.
I can. Why not?
Before we get into that, do you have any final words you want to say? Any shout outs?
Blimey. Well, shout out to you, obviously.
Thank you.
Just thanks for inviting me along. And, you know, this is, like I said, I'm living the dream here. I really am. It's a crazy, topsy-turvy world. And I don't know. I mean, what I've gone through in the past kind of year, I think, you know, I was the most level-headed person that I knew. You know, I got up, I went to work, I got home, I fed the cat, I went to bed. And it was a kind of a routine, and I never broke that mold. And then one day I met a girl and everything changed. And, you know, I threw caution to the wind and left my home and my family and everything. And just, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow, but I knew that something could happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know.
No regrets, you know. I know you get homesick every once in a while, of course. You got childhood friends, and again, you got family. Back over in England, but at the same time, that's just vacation, you know.
Like, yeah, exactly. You know. I mean, bottom line is, I'm seriously living the dream, and just, I don't know if people can gain inspiration from me telling my little old story about falling in love and stuff. I mean, you know, there's a whole world out there. You know, I'm 9,000 miles away from my home, and you know, I'm making a home here. So. If you see a lost English boy just walking down the road, just come and say hi. You know, if you see a lost English boy on a stage just trying to belt out a couple of tunes that he wrote about some girl in the far past.
Now, that's my next question. Are you looking in the future to maybe start taking your solo career farther, or are you going to start trying to perform at little pubs? Or
I'm trying to find some... Do you call them open mic nights?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do have open mic nights and stuff like that.
I want to get involved in that scene.
A lot of venues do that, so yeah.
You know, I was quite... Like I said, I came from a very small city, and I don't know, like being kind of known for being with the newspaper and stuff, England's got a really horrible attitude when it comes to people who appear to be doing quite well. You know, if say the small city that I was in, Plymouth, if you were doing well, people kind of built you up and they'd love to knock you back down again. Yeah. And in the end, I didn't want to perform kind of live, because you just got people who were just like, oh, you know, he writes for the paper and he thinks he loves himself and now he thinks he's a singer-songwriter.
No,
blah. And it was all like,
lame.
Yeah. And it was like, come on, I'm trying to...
It's something separate, you know?
I'm trying to express something else. And if you don't like it, that's fine. It's not for everyone, but just give me a minute just to do something that I'd like to do.
Right.
So having that kind of anonymity here, I quite like, you know?
Yeah.
I sometimes wish that I could wear a big cap and hide myself away, and you know, but I don't know. But I do want to perform. I want to get... Am I looking to get a recording contract or publishing deal? No. You know, I'm just looking to open people's minds a bit with experiences of lives in other lands, you know? So, yeah, I'd like to be...
It's a great attitude to have, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people that make it big, they're same attitude. You know what I mean? Hey... Yeah. I have a story I want to tell, or hey, I love music. I want to tell a story just through music or through the instruments or whatever.
You know, Chris Martin's dad, Coldplay frontman Chris Martin, his dad still owns and runs a caravan. He sells caravans
for
a living, like 40 minutes away from my home in the UK.
Wow.
Every time, it's funny because every time you drive to London, which is like 4.5 hours away by car. Every time you drive up the motorway, which is our freeway.
Yeah, motorway.
Okay. You look over to the right, and there you see a big sign saying, I forget his first name, but it's Martin's Caravans.
Oh, that is funny.
And he's still got the business, and he runs
that's
it.
That's awesome. I mean, and, living his own life. That's his own individual personality.
You know, I mean, that's his old man, but his old man could definitely retire and go and live in freaking LA or New York or wherever Chris is now. But I don't know. You know, it's integrity at the end of the day, so... Yeah, life is good.
That's good, man.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Absolutely, man. Do you want to hit up your... you want to tell everybody where to check out your blog and everything?
Yeah.
You want to mention that, too? Like, if someone would, you know, pop on and hit up your website, what are they expecting to check out?
I've got my own website, which is www.tristannichols.co.uk. It's TristanNichols. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff on there. There's photographs that I've taken around the world, Afghan and
photos of your fiance as well.
Not so many photos of my fiance on there. There's biog of what I've been up to. There's pictures of me modeling and stuff in the
website. Okay.
But there's also a link on there to the blog, Crazy Beautiful Madness.
Okay.
It's also called Once Upon a Time in Mexico on the page, so you can click on there. It takes you to the blog, and it basically details this crazy new life and the differences between, you know, what I'm used to and what I'm living in, basically. So
that's pretty cool, man. So hopefully people will take that out, hit you up on Twitter. And again, man, I really appreciate you being on the show. And I'm going to do a quick little shout out real quick. Just want to say follow me on Twitter, man, the Narcast. That's where I update everything. And if you want to check out any other episodes, you can always go to Stitcher Radio, iTunes. You can go to Jannar.blogspot, which is where all the shows live, and as well as the Podomatic.com website. Just hit me up, the Narcast.podomatic.com. Currently, I'm probably ranked number 2 in San Diego as far as most listened to podcast on that website. So I really appreciate all the listeners and all the musicians retweeting the podcast via whether it's Facebook or Twitter. That means a lot. That lets me know that everybody's appreciative to what I'm doing. And if you actually listened to the last episode of the 30 Day Project, I apologize that you had to listen to 30 minutes of me singing karaoke. I had nothing else better to do. So I ran out of ideas, so I figured why not do another karaoke, Narcast karaoke. So that's what happened. But anyway, so have you decided on what song you're going to play live to end this?
Yeah. I'm going to play a song called "Listen," which is one of mine.
Okay.
I tried to bash out.
So no Radiohead, huh?
No Radiohead. Not today.
Okay,
not today.
Maybe another time.
If you have me back, I'd love to.
I'll have you back on. All right.
I was going to play something else, but I don't think it's going to work out. Your neighbors would be complaining.
Uh-oh. Yeah, they probably would. Well, you never know. They always complain when I'm just in here talking to myself. That dude's talking to himself again. It's been 30 days, and I always hear him over there yelling about some episode, some 30 on 30 thing over there. But, yeah, so, all right. So let's listen to a song right here for the first time, actually. I'm actually having a performer on the Narcast doing his thing right here, and he's going to play one of his very own, a song called "Listen." Right here on the Narcast. Again, thanks, Tristan, for coming through.
No worries.
And you know what I always say. See you when I see you. Peace.
Okay, this is "Listen."
Yes, you're right. This world keeps turning. I was breaking formation to unlock your door. And now we can say things happen for a reason. We are just grains of sand spinning round in time. Would you ever park the car on shifting sand? Could you ever turn back the tide? I can never contemplate us settling down, but I. As I was, it wasn't meant for me. Thoughts and feelings collide, what am I to say? I can live here in peace and let you carry on with the life. Would you ever cop the car on shifting? Could you ever turn back the tide? I can never contemplate us settling down, but I listen. I need to live out my life. Oh, I need to live out my life. Oh, I need to live out my life. Oh, I need to live.
I feel faint. It's so hot in this room.